Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:03, and we have our guest, Meredith Trainer, on the phone. She is the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. So we've got her on the line, so you can still call in and ask a question or just say hi. We'll be writing those questions down instead this time, but you can certainly ask anything you would like to. That number is 874-2345. And hello.
Hi, June. This is Meredith. Thanks for having me today. And I'm joined here by my colleague, Guy Archibald, who's the staff scientist for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. So you've gotten a 2-4.
Thank you, Meredith. And thank you, Guy.
Thank you.
So real quick, if you could just give us a sense of the history of SEAC and what its mission is.
Absolutely. SEAC is the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. We are a 49-year-old conservation nonprofit. We're based here in Juneau, Alaska, which is where we're calling you from, but we work throughout Southeast on conservation issues. SEAC originally got its start to work on Tongass Forest conservation issues around the logging of the Tongass. And since then, we've added another program area that focuses on water quality concerns, specifically with regards to mining, both mines in our region in Southeast and also those transboundary mines that many Wrangellites are very aware of over the border in Canada.
Absolutely. Yes, so we've got the Tongass is a big issue for you, and then our surrounding waters and how mining in Alaska and even in Canada can impact those waters. And we are, you know, having you on the show today because you all are going to be making a visit to Wrangell. Could you give us a sense of why you're coming to town?
Absolutely. SEAC's coming to Wrangell this weekend. We'll be in town, most of us, from about Friday afternoon through Sunday, and then we'll have also some of our staff will be staying in town through early into next week. We're coming for our board meeting. We try and take the opportunity of getting together with board and staff to visit different communities throughout Southeast and also spend a little money in communities throughout Southeast over the course of the year. And on Saturday evening, we're going to be having a community potluck and event at the Wrangell Community Center at 321 Church Street at 6:30, which we'd like to invite all of the public to join us for. SEAC potlucks are an opportunity for the public to get together with one another and with our SEAC staff and board and ask questions about any issues of environmental concern that are specifically affecting, in this case, Wrangell. So we're really excited to be coming to town. It's been a little while since I personally have been in Wrangell, and I understand you guys are having some decent weather down that way.
We are. It's beautiful. It is bad for our hydropower plants right now and our water situation. But otherwise, yes, it is beautiful. So, you know, give me a sense of what you all have been working on lately.
Absolutely. I might let Guy go first here since he's our staff scientist. He works with our Inside Passage Waters program.
Yes, we've been working very closely with some of the state agencies and the state itself on creating protective water quality criteria based on human health considerations, essentially the fish consumption rate, which currently the state sets at 6.5 grams per day per person. We're also working on various pollution issues, whether it's from cruise ship dumping or from mine waste, either local mines or the transboundary mines. And while we're in town, we'll be doing a community presentation on some of the transboundary threats up the Stikine River, in particular the Galore Creek mine. It has gotten a little bit of a foothold, some increased investments, and there's some actions on the ground that indicate that this very large, massive sulfide mine may be ready for development. So I just want to be sure the community is aware and has all the information they need to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. So I'm hearing, you know, water quality, mining. Can you talk a little bit more about water quality? You mentioned that you're tackling issues around cruise ship dumping. Can you just be a little bit more specific about what are your areas of concern with water quality?
Well, I think we're all noticing that we're facing a crisis in the salmon population in numbers. Fisheries have been closed, sports, commercial, subsistence fisheries. It's very obvious that there are things going wrong out in the environment. And far too often, it's too easy to point the finger at the Pacific Ocean and maybe global effects and kind of wring our hands and say that there's nothing we can do about these large global events. But in fact, what protects salmon and any other species from extinction is biological diversity, having a large genetic diversity. And that genetic diversity comes from the habitat where they're reared in and raised in. Every individual stream has its genetic marker. And so even though some of the ocean conditions are very adverse for salmon survival right now, this underscores the need for us to protect our freshwater habitats. But we are a extractive resource intensive state, and right now those extractive resources seem to be getting, you know, a free hand into dumping contaminants and waste merely through administrative processes. You know, if I was to need to degrade water and I'm a company, I just have to go online, fill out a 6-page form, provide some effluent data, I can get a permit to degrade water. But right now, there is no mechanism for the residents and the citizens of Alaska to protect water. If we're going to have a long-term sustainable fishery, and there's no reason why we can't, you know, there's plenty of 80-year-old fishermen out there, we need to do a better job about all these small point sources of pollution and controlling them, and requiring that companies and corporations do a better job.
Absolutely. Thank you for that explanation. And so those point sources that you're talking about, go a little bit more into that. You know, for our local waters, for these Southeast waters, what does that look like?
Well, fortunately, Wrangell doesn't have the impacts of cruise ships to the extent that a lot of our other southeastern communities. But right now, most of the cruise ships can dump their tanks of treated gray water and black water as long as they're moving 6 knots or greater, whether this is in front of an anadromous stream, whether this is in front of a beach where people are collecting shellfish or seaweed. And some of these ships are authorized to dump their tanks even while they're sitting in port. And to us, this is just an extreme abuse of our common waters. These cruise ship companies make tons of profits. They certainly have the ability to do a better job treating their water. And so just from the aspect of cruise ships, I think there's a lot that could be easily done while protecting our tourism industry and protecting our waters. We have mines that, again, are authorized to use mixing zones. Mixing zones are just a sacrifice zone where water quality standards and criteria can be exceeded, you know, even above acutely toxic levels. Again, these mine corporations, they make a lot of money. There's no reason why some of this money required to can't be spent better treating their water, protecting our fish, and the reason that the people that live here depend on.
Absolutely. And so I'm wondering, you know, regarding mining and cruise ships, what are you doing with your organization to combat these two factors that are hurting our waters?
Well, one of the things we do is we review all of the publicly available data. We try to apply the latest sound science to that data and try to give that data out to the communities so that they can provide substantive comments during the public process. Try to enhance the voice of the communities so that they can try to have a positive effect on some of these actions that are degrading their waters. So we watchdog all the mines, all their permits, and they have many permits. We watchdog the cruise ship general permit is going to be renewed this year. So we'll be on top of that. We're going to try to make it a little more stricter on the cruise ships. We're going to try to get them so they don't have the ability just to dump, you know, hundreds of thousands of gallons a day while they're tied up to our docks. We're going to try to get them to avoid areas where people are practicing subsistence or cultural and traditional practices. And it's all geared on protecting human health. It's not about so much even the salmon or the trees, but it's protecting the people that live here. That's the important thing. Healthy, sustainable, vibrant communities such as Wrangell.
Absolutely. And so I'm hearing that, you know, yeah, you're being a watchdog for these industries that are polluting or could potentially pollute waters. And you're bringing that information to the public so that, you know, they can comment on these permits. They can advocate for themselves. Are you all going to the state or to the feds to try to make progress with regulations, or are you going to the industries themselves? What does that look like?
Yes, we do all of that. We try to work with the state and federal agencies. We certainly provide them with local information because that's the best source of information for them to make sound decisions, is the voice they hear from the communities themselves, so they get an idea what to protect. More often than not, the mines and other entities will do what's required of them. But we need to get the state and federal agencies to require more. We also work with the state, you know, through the legislature to try to be sure that our representatives know about the issues that are affecting our communities. And we do push back just at every opportunity we can to have more protective water quality criteria, clear guidance, so that we're all on the same page on how things get done here in the state, so that one industry doesn't have an advantage over community or tribe. We try to work really hard to build equity into this system here a little bit.
Absolutely. Thank you. And, you know, how are the state and even the feds, you know, responding? Are you seeing progress from the state or the feds to implement further regulation that you would like to see?
Well, unfortunately, both from the federal and the state levels, the agencies have been dramatically underfunded. They don't have the personnel in place or the personnel with the correct expertise often to make thoughtful decisions here. It's been years since the Department of Environmental Conservation has visited a mine site here in southeast Alaska. Our government tends to want to underfund these agencies, but it's clear that, you know, preventing damage and preventing pollution is a lot cheaper and easier than trying to remediate it once it happens. If we lose a salmon run in a stream, you know, for a number of years, it's never coming back. And so we need to be sure that we protect these things now and not suffer the same consequences we've seen human history do from Europe and the East Coast and up the West Coast, and that's destroying the natural environment and the salmon that go along with it. I wish the governments would do a better job. They tend to listen to the science argument, and I know the recent administration, it's gotten even tougher, the recent state administration. The state agencies are clamming up pretty good.
They're clamming up pretty good. Are you saying, you know, this is because of proposed budget cuts or other things?
Well, I think they've heard the governor's call that Alaska is open for business. Business and corporations are going to take precedent over, I think, communities. We can see that even in the proposed ferry service cuts, that communities are going to be on the chopping block here a little bit, especially the remote southeast communities off the road system. And so my usual communications with the state agencies, I've noticed that suddenly they have kind of quit communicating with us a little bit.
Wow, really? Yeah, that's a big deal. Okay, well, thank you for that, Guy. Yeah, that's good to know that, how this administration change is definitely going to affect everybody, and how it's going to affect the environment and your guys' work. So maybe let's, we've talked about the state. Let's talk a little bit about the roadless rule. I know this is something that you all want to talk about when you come to Wrangell. Tell me, you know, what you guys are doing around this issue.
Absolutely. So for folks who aren't familiar with it, the roadless rule is a 2001 rule that helps guide the Forest Service in how they manage the national forest. It protects roadless areas, so what we think of as deep, intact wilderness, truly natural areas that are unique and special in national forests across the United States. Just this past year, the governor of Alaska, actually the previous governor, asked that the Forest Service revisit how the roadless rule applies to the state of Alaska specifically, under the idea that there should be some sort of, from the state's perspective, an exemption from the application of the roadless rule, which would allow us to do more logging. And we think that's a bad move. We don't think there's adequate economic justification for doing so. And we don't think that there's support for that among the people of Southeast Alaska. And we've done a lot of work to make sure that we know what people here really want and really want to see from their elected representatives. So the process that we're in is a long one. And what happened this past fall was, to begin that process, the Forest Service had a scoping period where they went from community to community, including Wrangell, and they held these scoping meetings to get a sense for what people are thinking about the roadless rule and what they want to see. The process that they're in is called the NEPA process. It's the National Environmental Policy Act. And in that process, you have this scoping period. We're going to do a project. We're thinking about how to do this project. What do you all want to see or hear? And then they come back with a draft environmental impact statement that says, okay, we have a couple of ideas of what we could do. Here's an assessment of how each of those ideas would affect the things you care about in your region. So deer habitat and deer availability, things like forest cover, intactness, aesthetics view, all kinds of things, access for tourism, access for power lines. So we're heading into this process right now. It's called the draft environmental impact statement process. That'll be going on this summer in Southeast Alaska, throughout Southeast Alaska, where the Forest Service will come back to us with a series of what are called alternatives. Those are those scenarios. We could do this, we could do that. And they'll be looking for public input and public comment, and we'll be working with community members from throughout Southeast to get people out to those meetings and talking to the Forest Service to tell them what, to help them tell the Forest Service what they want to see happen on our national forest. And so SEAC is on Saturday night at this potluck that, again, we're having at 6:30 at the Rengel Community Center on Church Street on Saturday night. We're going to have the potluck, and then we're going to spend some time talking about the roadless rule, talking about what to expect for this draft environmental impact statement process, talking about how to have your voice be heard. And we'll have some nice big maps with us that will help people from Rengel see where the roadless areas are that are near your community, and think about what type, in what ways they, the individual members of your community, interact with these roadless areas. Because sometimes we don't know what the categorization of a specific land type is. You know, if you're not kind of getting deep into this wonky, nerdy stuff with forest management, you might not know that this area that you really care a great deal about because you've hunted there and your grandmother hunted, grandfather hunted there, you know, you might not know that that's a roadless area and that that's one of the reasons that it's so so natural feeling, so intact. And so with that process coming up this summer, we'll be spending Saturday night, again, at 6:30 at the Rengel Community Center on Church Street, doing that potluck and then talking about the roadless rule and talking about ways to get involved this summer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that explanation. Yeah, so so my understanding is, this past fall that they started the process of reaching out to the public and saying, we could repeal this roadless rule, we could keep it intact, or we could do something in between. And that they're going to bring those alternatives to people this summer and get more comments on them. And, you know, my understanding is definitely a lot of people commented and said, yes, we support repealing the roadless rule. Other people said, we do not support repealing the roadless rule. And that There was a large number of people that said we do not want it repealed. I'm pretty sure reading the comments that voice was louder, at least from, you know, the people that made the effort to comment.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that we often talk, when we talk about the national forest here in Southeast, there's this line of conversation about it, about how the forest and the Forest Service are in transition. And in the context of the national forest, they're often talking about transitioning away from logging big trees, the big old growth trees that we all value, to logging what are called young growth, so trees from areas, forested areas that have been cut more recently and grown back. I tend to think that Southeast Alaska is in transition as a whole and as a region. And I think one of the things that we really saw very clearly during the scoping period in the fall was that although the roadless rule, it was popular when it was first passed, issued in 2001, but I think we've really seen much more widespread support for the roadless rule in Southeast now, even than we did back then, as people have seen that we can transition economically. You know, we can find jobs in shipbuilding, or we can bring jobs in tourism or mariculture, which is like, you know, harvesting seaweed and other ocean products to pursue alternative forms of economic development. So I felt personally this past fall like we really saw that people in Southeast are seeking to keep those roadless areas intact and to keep that national roadless rule on the Tongass. And they are seeking to make sure that the Forest Service doesn't go changing the protection that those areas have here in Southeast Alaska without our support.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that is what people are saying. And I do feel like Rengel, you know, I can't speak to the comments that people in Rengel submitted, but I do remember being in that meeting when the Forest Service came to Rengel. And a lot of people, you know, wanted to repeal the roadless rule. I think Rengel was one of the few communities that really came out, at least in those public meetings, saying that They do want to see logging. They do want to potentially gain something from repealing this roadless rule.
We had heard the room was a little bit more split, although you do have at least one particularly outspoken voice there in Wrangell in support of logging. But, you know, I think the other thing to keep in mind here is that this doesn't mean, the roadless rule doesn't mean that there's no logging continuing to happen on the Tongass. It just means not logging in these roadless areas, which have been set aside for a specific reason, for specific values. What I had heard, I wasn't able to attend the Wrangell meeting in the fall, but I had heard that there was actually a pretty fair kind of 50-50 split, at least, there in the room in terms of perspectives. But you were there, so, you know.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people wanted to see it open up. It seemed like a lot of people that are the sort of environmental nerds or, you know, as you were saying, like the people that are in the weeds and know, you know, what is going on with the Forest Service. They sounded like the plan that we already have for the Tongass that is separate from the roadless rule, they felt like that plan, you know, already protects a lot of lands that are under the roadless rule. So they were sort of wondering, you know, is this going to mean the Tongass plan is out the window, or does it mean the Tongass plan is going to protect these areas regardless of what happens to the roadless rule? So I think
That's a concern. You know, a lot of time and effort went in on the part of Southeast Alaskans to creating that Tongass land management plan. It's, which governs how the forest gets managed. So I think, we're just concerned. People here have participated in these processes in good faith, and they helped create the existing Tongass land management plan. And then you come in and you're just rolling back all of these protections that have existed for good reason for quite a long time and have quite a lot of popular support.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, I would say, June, we would love, you know, if folks want to come and talk roadless, please do invite them to join us at 6:30 on Saturday at the community center. And I think, you know, no matter how you feel about this issue, if you just want to talk about it, come on out and join us. We are the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, and we represent all of Southeast. The other thing I wanted to mention is that on Monday night, in addition to the event Saturday night where we'll talk roadless, on Monday night we're hosting an event called Protecting the Sticking, Get to Know the River and Learn about the Impacts of Upstream Mining. And Guy will be speaking at that event. It's going to be on Monday, March 4th at 6:30 at the Nolan Center on Campbell Drive. So just wanted to make sure that your folks had that information as well for anybody who wants to join us. That one I don't think is a potluck. It's just a meeting and an opportunity to speak and ask some questions about mining. Right, Guy?
Yes, there may be some Dora prizes.
Some Dora prizes, all right.
Awesome. Cool. Well, then, everybody, you've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. Meredith and Guy are with the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, and we will be seeing you all Saturday and Monday. And thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having us, June. We really appreciate it.
Okay, me too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.